Christmas Eve service. On behalf of our pastor, Scott Stevens, and his family, who are off visiting his family at home in Chicago this weekend, so we wish for them a wonderful Christmas and safe travels as they go and see his family. This is kind of an every other year tradition for them, so we're glad they were able to go. I'm glad that he asked me to fill in. I hope that what I have to say for you will help to bring some light and joy to this Christmas Eve service. Please be in an attitude of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for those assembled here this evening and for those who, for whatever reason, could not be with us. We know that you will bring to us again the wonderful story of the birth of our Lord and Savior and help to remind us of all that we have received from you and all the good that we can do by carrying out the great lessons that were taught to us as we help others in our daily lives. We ask that you would bless this service, bless each of us during this Christmas season, and may we continue to serve thee as you would have us to do. This we ask in thy holy name. Amen. He means reading the paper while the kids mess up the house. Only that day I wasn't reading. I was fuming. On every page of the paper, as I flicked angrily through them, gifts glittered and reindeer pranced, and I was told that there were only 6 more days in which to run out and buy what I couldn't afford and nobody needed. What, I asked myself indignantly, did the glitter and the rush have to do with the birth of Christ? There was a knock on the door of the study where I had barricaded myself. Then Nancy's voice, "Daddy, we have a play to put on. Do you want to see it?" I didn't. But I had fatherly responsibilities, so I followed her into the living room. Right away, I knew it was a Christmas play, for at the foot of the piano stool was a lighted flashlight wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a shoebox. Rex, age 6, came in wearing my bathrobe and carrying a mop handle. He sat on the stool, looked at the flashlight. Nancy, age 10, draped a sheet over her head and stood behind Rex and began, "I'm Mary and this boy is Joseph." Usually in this play, Joseph stands up and Mary sits down. But Mary sitting down is taller than Joseph standing up, so he thought it looked better this way. Enter Trudy at a full run. She never has learned to walk. There were pillowcases over her arms. She spread them wide and said only, "I'm an angel." Then came Anne, age 8. I knew right away that she represented a wise man. In the first place, she moved like she was riding a camel because she had on her mother's high heels. And she was bedecked with all the jewelry available. On a pillow, she carried 3 items, undoubtedly gold, frankincense, and myrrh. She undulated across the room, bowed to the flashlight, to Mary, to Joseph, to the angel, and to me, and then announced, "I'm all 3 wise men. I bring precious gifts, gold, circumstance, and mud." That was all. The play was over. I didn't laugh. I prayed. How near the truth Anne was. We come at Christmas burdened down with gold, with the showy gift and the tinsely tree. Under the circumstances, we can do no other. Circumstances of our time and place and custom. And it seems a bit like mud when we think of it. But as I looked at the shining faces of my children, as their audience of one applauded them, and remembered that a child showed us how these things can be transformed, I remembered that this child came into a material world, and in so doing, eternally blessed the material. He accepted the circumstances, imperfect and frustrating, into which he was born, and thereby infused them with the divine. And as for the mud, to you and me it may be something to sweep off the rug, but to all children it is something to build with. Children see so surely through the tinsel and the habit and the earthly to the love which in them all strains for expression. A pastor of a small church would occasionally call on one gentleman to pray, and every time this one particular guy would pray, he would pray, "Oh God, thank you for this word today and bless these people today. Then he would end with the strangest statement, "And O God, O Lord, prop us up on our leaning side." Every time the preacher would call on him, he'd pray, "O Lord, prop us up on our leaning side." Finally, the pastor pulled him aside and he said, "I love the way you pray, but I don't understand your little closing phrase. What are you talking about? Prop us up on our leaning side." The old man responded, "Well, Pastor, I'm a farmer. I live out on a farm, and you know I live in the country. I've got an old barn, and it's been there a long time. It's been through a lot of weather and a lot of storms, and a lot of bugs have eaten at it." He said, "I got to looking at it one day when I was riding on my tractor, and I noticed it was leaning to one side. So I thought to myself, oh my goodness, the barn is leaning, and it's a matter of time before the whole thing falls. So you know what I did? I went and got some pine beams, and I propped it up on its leaning side. It still leans and probably always will. But I propped it up on its leaning side, and it's not going to fall down because I propped it up on its leaning side." And I got to thinking about it. When I was on the tractor, Pastor, and I was riding in the field, I thought about the kind of year I've had and some of the storms I've been through and some of the people that are bugging me and eating away at my joy and eating away at my spirit. And I just got to thinking, you know, I'm still here. I'm still standing after all that stuff I've been through. The storms and the howling winds, they couldn't topple me. I'm still standing by the grace of God. He concluded, "From time to time, I find myself leaning toward my old desires, leaning toward anger, leaning towards becoming bitter or hateful at the people who are bugging me, or leaning towards going back to the old habits and the old life I used to have. And when I feel myself start leaning toward that tendency, I just remember that old barn, and I pray out loud on my tractor, Lord, I thank you that you're going to prop me up on my leaning side." We had a bad year or two, and I know we all have at one time leaned one direction or the other, but we've never fallen because of the support that we get from the one who has brought here to save and to lead us into a better life after this one. We know that no matter how far we lean, we're never going to fall over, that we're going to be held upright, and there's always going to be a hand to support us no matter what we may do. Some special music for us this evening. It's so special, we don't know what it is till she starts playing it. So.
Thank you.
This is adapted from an article by Miss Catherine Slattery. War is a terrible thing. Historians agree that one of the deadliest conflicts in human history was World War I, which raged from July 28, 1914 to November 11, 1918 and claimed more than 16 million lives. It was the first modern war using mechanized tanks with powerful artillery, airplanes, machine guns, and poison gas. Worst of all for soldiers was the trench warfare, where troops shot at each other from hundreds of miles of deep trenches dug into the ground. Life in the muck and disease-filled trenches was miserable. To leave one's trench was to risk being shot and killed. The distance between the opposing trenches was known as no man's land and littered with dead soldiers. On Christmas Eve, 1914, along the war's western front in Flanders, Belgium, a miracle took place. On one side were the English and the French, hunkered down in their trenches. On the other side, doing the same, were the Germans. The war had been raging for 5 months. It was a bitter cold night. Suddenly, an English soldier scanning the German enemy line spotted a small fir tree decorated with twinkling candles. He readjusted his binoculars and squinted, disbelieving. And then, drifting across the frozen ground of no man's land, came a low rumble, not of guns, but of German soldiers singing, "Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht," softly at first and then louder with each verse. Although the words were foreign, the carol's tune and its message was unmistakable. The English and French troops responded, raising their voices and singing "Silent Night, Holy Night." Back and forth, the men exchanged verses in English and German. This went on for several minutes. Then, from the depths of the German trench, a soldier raised a crudely written sign, "You know shoot, we know shoot." In response, the English and French soldiers waved a ragged banner that read, "Merry Christmas." Cautiously, the unarmed men began to emerge from their trenches. Slowly, they crossed the dreaded no man's land, where they stood face to face in the frosty air. For a moment, the highly trained soldiers didn't know quite what to do. Awkwardly, they extended and shook each other's hands. They clapped one another's shoulders. They embraced. Some turned their heads to hide the tears. They gave each other permission to collect and properly bury their dead. They exchanged prisoners, and then for the remainder of that miraculous night and throughout Christmas Day, they sang carols and exchanged gifts of cake, chocolates, biscuits, jam, canned beef, pork and beans, newspapers, postcards, and wine. They even played an impromptu game of soccer with a makeshift ball fashioned from a large tin can. "For an instant, the God of goodwill was once more master of this corner of the earth," recalled one French officer. The Christmas miracle of 1914 was nothing less than the supernatural love and peace of Jesus breaking through and touching human hearts in a very big and powerful way. Although it lasted but one night and day, it was a fleeting glimpse of heaven on earth. It was what Christmas is all about. We're going to have a little video about this, and if you're interested in following along a little bit, if you turn to Silent Night in your hymnal, number 239, the second verse that is written in there is the words in German, so you can kind of follow along with what's being said. We are pleased to have several talented people in this church, and they have lent their musical skills to us, and so we have another piece of special music this evening from Nick, and we hope you enjoy this. Thank you. Morgan, thank you as well. The last message for the evening is the reason we're all here tonight. It's one that we don't maybe hear as often as we should. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Tonight we'll be having our traditional candle lighting as we do silent night at the end of the service. So I hope, does everyone have a candle? If you would please, we don't have enough to encircle the church, but if everyone would come up and kind of form around this way, I think that would be a way for us to be together on this special occasion. Two verses.